the best way really is to go through the scriptures. Every time you find the word glory, you will find an explanation for it. Just this whole fast food way of give me an expression, give me the translation of it. Well, Google it, maybe you'll find something. But I don't want that. I really think that because, you know, even the sons of Laban said about Jacob when he acquired wealth. And from our father, he acquired glory. So now substance in display is glory. But I don't want to go every one of them it's mentioned. But next time, so next conference, you will be able to give us what you have gleaned from going through the scripture and finding what glory is. But I think also that Isaiah 53 doesn't start with suffering. It really starts with glory. And it's kind of misleading a little bit because it starts with verse 1, but it's really verse 50, right. Chapter 52 and verse 13. And there really the focus or attention are brought to that servant of Jehovah, the servant of the Lord who deal prudently, he shall be exalted and he shall be lifted up. And this is the other lifted up, Brother Brian, beside the one in John.
Yeah, right.
The lifted up and be very high. Before even he enter into the suffering of Christ in chapter 53, he is already giving us a picture of that perfect servant who will be exalted, who will be lifted up, who will be made very high. And those are the three circles where the Lord Jesus will expand his glory. The circle of his own, the circle of the nation of Israel, and the circle of the whole world. In every circle of these, the Lord Jesus will be the center and the exalted one of every one of them. Just like David, when he was anointed among his brethren in his father's house. He was anointed in Hebron over the tribe of Judah. And then he was anointed over all Israel. So he will, again, lifted up, exalted, lifted up, and made very high. The vast circle, the whole vast universe of blessed, he will be the center and the sun. And that is really the anticipation of the acquired glory. Now, this is not the Godhead glory that is his. That's intrinsic glory that he have before he came a man. And it will ever be his. He never lost that. It was always his. He never lost who he is when he became a man. But there's acquired glory that he would receive as a result of his suffering in association with his own.
Brother Bunny, I want to come back to you with the glory. I'm not going to be him.
I don't want you to be me.
Thank God. Thank God.
Just be yourself.
But the reality of it is, I always looked at it when it comes to glory in relationship to God, is some display of God in certain features, whether as appearance or thoughts, that is expresses his excellency and what was discussed. Because there was a desire of a man by the name of Moses. He said, show me thy glory. And what God said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something of me. You're not going to see it, but you're going to see my back. But God was willing to show something of himself. And that to me is always glory. And it is something that displays something of God in a very most excellent way. That is beyond any other glory or the glory of substance that the example was given. But the other thought, so that when we come to the glory of Christ that he should enter, even when I'm looking to that world to come, there was something about this glory where God will show something of himself. He says, and the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the water cover the seas. This means that the Lord Jesus, even in his reign, sometimes we think, you know, of how he's going to judge the enemies. All these things are wonderful. But brethren, to start from the top, the Father will be honored. It's the Father of the kingdom of his Father. But just to bring the knowledge of God to the whole earth, to me, that's a scene of glory. Amen. Where all mankind will see something of God and display the excellency of this blessed God.
Yeah, well, there's three passages in the Old Testament that have a version of that. In Numbers, I think it's chapter 14, it says, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Isaiah chapter 11, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Habakkuk is, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
this passage that we've been looking at just briefly in the beginning of this song, as Emil pointed out, starts in the 13th verse of the previous chapter. It also adds this part that the glories that the Lord Jesus has received in resurrection, in a sense, it's like a recompense for his suffering. We have him, all the depths of thy heart's sorrow, just looking up, 98. All the depths of thy heart's sorrow told in answering glory now, which means the glory is an answer to all of his suffering. And just to see how this is presented here, many were astonished at you, verse 14. And then there's a little parenthesis, you might say. Darby's translation punctuates it helpfully. Why were they astonished? His visage was marred more than any man. His form was more than the sons of men. And then the as in verse 14 is answered by the so in verse 15. He shall sprinkle, or really it's a very similar word. He shall astonish many nations. Many were astonished at you to see what had been done to you in suffering, to him in suffering. But they will be astonished again. He will astonish them. Now it's active. He will astonish them. Kings will shut their mouths at him, and he will have this glory as if it's a recompense for his suffering. But what's also nice to see in this, the way that this psalm, this song, it's really one of these four servant songs of Isaiah. The first one is in chapter 42, and it starts similarly to this one. Behold my servant. And this one starts, behold my servant. But at the end, and this just to build on what we're saying about these glories, at the end it says, my righteous servant. We're looking at verse 11. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. And these many are, in another sense, an aspect of his glory. These many who are justified, the righteous servant, it's a similar word. Righteous is the adjective, justify is the verb. If we could say it, and it would make sense, my righteous servant shall righteousify many, if we could imagine it as a verb. Because it shows that what has happened is that those who have, how could we say, those who are associated with him, he has made us like him. And so the point, I'm just connecting this with Ephesians 2. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The work he has done, it's not all about us just so that we can finally have some blessings that we enjoy. The transformation, the redemption that he has accomplished for our sakes is also an aspect of his glory, God's glory through what Christ has done to show that God could justify sinful ones through the work that Christ has done, that Christ himself says, look, I am the children you have given me, in another sense, that all these many, all the ways in which we are brought to him and presented to him, this is also part of this glory that is for him. We make it about ourselves, and there's so much we should enjoy as blessings for ourselves, but we also see that it's what he has done in us is also a glory for him.